This morning's public reading comes from 1 Samuel chapter 2. I'm going to be reading in our hearing the first 17 verses here this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in my salvation. For there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none besides thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more of exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength. They that are full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that are hungry ceased. So that the barren had borne seven, and she that had many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifted up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them amongst princes, to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he had set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed." And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was, that when any man offer sacrifice, the priest's servants came, while the flesh was in seething, with the flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. And he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. And all the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servants came, and said to the man that sacrificed, "Give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw." And if any man said unto him, "Let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth," then he would answer him, "Nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force." Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for the men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. What a striking contrast. In verses 1 to 11, we have the rich theology of a simple Jewish woman. She is a wife. She's now going to become a mother, or has become a mother. And yet, if time permits, in rapid succession, we're going to consider the theology, the sound theology that came from the lips of a very humble, common Jewish woman. The other contrast are the two devils that are mentioned in verses 12 to 17. These are sons of Eli. Eli was the high priest at the time. And notice some of the things that are said about these two brothers. They were sons of Belial, and they knew not the Lord. Now, John 17:3 tells us Jesus' definition of eternal life is to possess the knowledge of both the Father and the one of whom the Father sent, which is Jesus. That's eternal life, knowledge. We are told that these two brothers, Hophni and Phinehas, did not know the Lord. So guess what? They were doomed men while they were alive. Something else we're told about them in verse 17, when it came to their priestly job, which was to be done with reverence and holiness and with the fear of God in mind, they abhorred the offering of the Lord. And then we notice in verses 14 that while the meat was being seethed in a pot or a cauldron or in a kettle, these two brothers sent a little underling with a three-pronged fitch pork and stabbed it and brought up apparently the best cut of meat. And these two brothers enjoyed themselves. And then notice when it came to bringing the meat, these priests went so far in verse 16, "If any man say unto thee, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, Nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force." Religion at the point of a spear, maybe, or at the point of a sword. Notice that. I will take it by force. So, I want to look at these two devils and get them out of the picture as quick as we can. They were devils. They were doomed men. And yet, they were functioning as priests before God. So, there's an example that you can be religious. You can go through ritual and ceremony and all kinds of rites and rituals that the church or whatever denomination dictates. But if you don't know the Lord, you're a devil in disguise. What about Hannah, this beautiful woman? Verses 2. She knows that there's only one true and living God. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none besides thee, neither is there any rock like our God. So number one, in her theology, she doesn't believe in many gods. She doesn't believe in pantheism. She doesn't believe that God dwells in all things, where you can hug a tree and therefore you're worshiping God. She knows that God is one who transcends time and space. There's only one God. Next, in verses 3, excuse me, "For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by his actions are weighed." So not only does she believe in the one true living God, the God that she does believe is a God who is omniscient. He possesses knowledge of all things, and because of that, he is also able to weigh the actions of men. The God that she worships is a God who ultimately is going to judge all men based on his all-knowing knowledge of each and every one of us. Verses 6 and 7, beloved, my word, she was a Calvinist before the name was even coined. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low. He lifteth up. Pastor, what do you mean she was a Calvinist before that term was even coined? The next thing about her God, she had a very high view of God's sovereignty, that God is in control of all things. He gives life. He takes life. He exalts some, and he abases others. Get the point? In the doctrines of grace, known better as to some people as Calvinism, one of the two most important planks to that understanding is, number one, right out of the gate, God is absolutely sovereign over all and over everything in his universe. Notice verse 9. this God that she serves, this one true living God who knows all things and is going to be the judge of all things and who is completely sovereign, he will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. He knows that God's people are going to be preserved. They are truly secure in him, while the wicked will be punished. Next, in verses 10, the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. She must have known Psalm, or she's going to be avenged. This is even maybe before David wrote it. Psalm 2, why do the heathen rage and imagine a vain thing? They're out there plotting to break the sovereign bands of the Almighty. And the Bible says that God will take them and dash them like a potter's vessel. What does she say here? The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. The God that she serves is a God of justice and will bring the wicked to task. Also in verses 10, the Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. He shall give strength unto his king. Now at this time, beloved, there's no king of Israel. So what king is she talking about? And that, I think she helps us and exalt the horn of the strength of his anointed. Well, is she kind of getting a little foreshadow or a foretaste of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is truly Messiah, the anointed of the Lord? Yes, she may be referring to a king yet to be. The first king is going to be Saul, but that's going to be a little bit of time in the first in the chapters of 1 Samuel. So what king and which anointed do you think she's talking about? I think she's pointing us to Christ. And so there you have it. And then we are told in verse 11, the child Samuel did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Isn't that sad? Well, Samuel is being mentored by Eli, the overweight high priest. He is unable to mentor and to control his two sons, who are devils. And he tolerates, as we shall see, their unfortunate behavior before God and before the people. But I want to leave you on the positive. You got to admit that Hannah possessed more proper theology than most men behind pulpits and most who sit in pews in churches today. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.